pray. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. When we are about to deliver some really good news, you really want to do the announcement right. While I was preparing for my sermon, I tried to think about an example of some really good news that happened in my life. And then the light bulb went on in my brain. And so here's my good news for the evening. And there's only three people in this congregation that know the details of this: my wife, myself, and my mother-in-law. But here we go, the rest of the story. The good news was only good news because the young gal said yes to my question. And the momentous event is when I proposed to Sarah. So I'll let you in on the story. We began this night back in November of 1992 by having a supper at a restaurant in Telford, Pennsylvania. Except this restaurant was only open for breakfast and lunch. But since I knew the owner, Sarah and I had supper with only the two of us in the restaurant. With the owner cooking our meal, and after she was done with meal and dessert, she left the premises and she told us to lock the back door as we left on the way out. I did not propose at the restaurant, but I took Sarah to a park in Poughkeepsie, Pennsylvania called Lenape Park. At the exact moment I'm kneeling down and asking her, "Will you marry me?" in the background, the church bells of a Lutheran church in that town start ringing. Now, I had everything planned except those church bells ringing, but I will let you decide whether that was a sign or not. It's good to make a big deal about good news. In our New Testament reading, we have the announcement of good news of great joy, which far surpasses whatever good news happens in our lives, and that we have the privilege to share with friends and family. So first, the announcement of the good news. Luke 2, 10 through 12 says, "But the angel said to them," referring to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The angels brought good news of great joy for all the people. Luke's gospel has an emphasis on the coming of Christ for the Gentiles. In this announcement, there will be good news of great joy for all people, is an early pointer in his gospel that Christ came for all people, in fact, for the whole world. The angel goes on to say that in the city of David, there has been born a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The term for Christ in Greek means anointed one or Messiah. Anointing was a special service known in the Old Testament for kings and priests. The Jews expected that one day God would send a very special deliverer, and he would not be simply an anointed one, but the anointed one, the Messiah, the one and only Messiah. The word Lord, which the infant Jesus is called by, which is regularly used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament for God's covenant name, Jehovah or Yahweh. With this attribution of Jesus by the angel, it is a declaration that this child is divine. And so I love the words to the praise song. When Mary kissed the cheek of this child, she kissed the face of God. He was God come in the flesh. Then the angels gave the shepherds a specific sign by which they will know that they have seen this promised one. And the sign is, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. There may have been more than one baby born in Bethlehem on that night, but Christ's birth, the sign, is that there would be a child born in a manger. Like all signs in the Bible, God gives a sign for direction and confirmation of the truth of his message. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news because it is a declaration of victory. In his coming to earth, his suffering, and his resurrection, Christ conquered the devil, sin, and death. But what is ironic about this sign is that Christ comes in humility as he is born in a manger. He is the Savior, Christ the Lord, born in a manger. A royal king being born in a manger makes about as much sense as a king being crucified. And yes, that too is how Christ conquered. In unexpected ways. From the beginning of his life until the end of his life, Jesus Christ came in humility and was victorious over the worst enemies of mankind, sin, Satan, and death. These enemies we could not and cannot conquer. It took God coming in the flesh to overcome these enemies. That brings me to my second point, is that the shepherds spread this good news of great joy. The shepherds did not keep the message of the angel to themselves, but they told broadly the news of the birth of this child. We're told of their willingness in Luke 2:16-18. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the thing which they were told by the shepherds. The shepherds came and witnessed with their own eyes this baby, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, just as they had been told by the angels. Having heard the announcement of the gospel with their ears by the angels, they viewed this child with their eyes. And they told others both what they had heard and what they had seen. The shepherds cannot give unless they have received, but once they received this message and saw this child, they told broadly in that little village of Bethlehem about this child. As I said in my introduction, it's good to make a big deal about good news. In fact, we need to share this same good news with family, with friends, and anyone who has ears to hear. It's the greatest news the earth has ever heard. Christ the Savior is born for us. That brings me to my third point, and that is Mary treasured the announcement of this good news. There are two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, which speak of the conception and the birth of Jesus. Just where did Matthew and Luke discover this historical material that fills the first two chapters of Matthew and Luke? Since this material is not found in the Gospel of Mark or John's Gospel or in the apostolic sermons in the book of Acts, how did these two evangelists know about it? The answer that makes the most sense to me is that Mary is the source of these stories to Matthew and to Luke. God could have revealed all these details to the apostles themselves, but it makes sense that Mary told them. And so many other times throughout her son's life, she reflected on the goodness and mercy of the Lord, that she had been blessed to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am awestruck by Mary's courage. There's only one woman in all of human history who was born, who gave birth to a son, and she was a virgin. Think of the scorn and the disbelief. Yet Mary had the courage. Yes, Lord, may it be to me even as you have said. And Mary treasured all these words. This message about the child took root in the innermost recesses of her heart. Her heart, mind, and life was shaped by this message that she received from the angel. And the message confirmed to her relative Elizabeth about the birth of John the Baptist. This message was also confirmed in the early days after the child's birth by Simeon and Anna. Mary treasured all these things in her heart, even as the appearance of the shepherd on that night that Jesus was born. These messages form a united harmony and chorus, revealing her son as the anointed Messiah. Later in the first century, when Matthew and Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote their gospel accounts, she could have shared with Matthew and Luke firsthand all these details. From the announcement of the angel that she would give birth to the Messiah, to the birth of John the Baptist, the trip to Bethlehem, the manger, the swaddling clothes, the angels, the shepherds, the magi and their gifts, Herod's reaction, and the presentation of the child in the temple, and all the dramatic events that happened in Jesus' early childhood. Mary's act of reflecting on the birth of her son and the rest of his life, his public ministry, miracles, and teaching is a godly discipline that God calls all of us to do. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Mary meditated and pondered on the events of her son's miraculous entrance into this world as he was conceived in her womb. Mary treasured this awesome announcement of good news, which is good news for her, good news for the shepherds, good news for God's people, in fact, good news for the whole world. All people who believe on Jesus as God and Messiah are reconciled to the Lord, adopted as his children through the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. But on this night, tonight, Christ has been born for us. May we trust in him and let his message sink down into the depths of our hearts as we ponder anew how great and awesome our salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and share this gospel generously to those in need, which includes all people. This is good news of great joy for all the people. Let us pray. Most merciful God, you gave your only Son, the eternal Word, to become incarnate of the Virgin Mary. Grant to your people grace to put away sinful desires, that we may be ready for you in our remembrance of the birth of Jesus tonight and also at the last day in his second coming. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.